Good morning and welcome to Monday morning, April the 15th in 2024 on When I Rise. Till we begin Year B, the fourth Sunday of Easter. And on the Monday of the week, we typically read the Old Testament passage, which comes to us from this week from the Revised Common Lectionary in this week of the church's calendar year. But during the season of Easter, they've subbed out the Old Testament for the book of Acts. So we continue there. Today, we'll go to Acts chapter 4. Verses 5 through 12. So let me read that passage, provide a couple points for reflection, and then we'll spend our time praying along the theme that we find there. Thanks for making us part of your morning on When I Rise. Let's allow our souls to rise and meet God together in a time of prayer. Acts chapter 4, verses 5 through 12. On the next day, their rulers, the elders, and the scribes gathered in Jerusalem, along with Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and all the members of the high priestly family. They stood them in the midst of them. "How did you do this?" they asked him. "What power did you use? What name did you invoke?" Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. "Rulers of the people and elders," he said, "if the question we're being asked today is about a good deed done for a sick man and whose power it was that rescued him, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man stands before you fit and well because of the name of the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. He is the stone which the builders rejected, but which has become the head cornerstone. Rescue won't come from anybody else. There's no other name given under heaven and among humans by which we must be rescued." This is the word of God for us. All right, so happy tax day out there, everybody. Well, I don't know, maybe some folks are not so happy about it. Kind of finding that people get it done very early or they get it done by an extension, right? Like hardly anybody's getting it done on the nose, and haven't like the past few years, like we've been spoiled because it hasn't been due like on April 15th, but it's been like the 18th or something like that because of how things fell on holiday. But anyways, I so wished that there would be a passage in the Revised Common Lectionary this week on taxes, right? Like, don't you think they could have had some more foresight and put something in there so we can receive a teaching on taxes? But nonetheless, hopefully you get it done. Sorry for that aside. But we continue on in the book of Acts, and this is a bit of a dovetail to what happened in the previous week's reading. So Peter and John went up to a place of prayer. They healed a guy. It caused a great ruckus. And so now they're going to be, you know, potentially arraigned for all of the disruption, right? It's because Jesus is the name whom they're invoking to heal this guy. And as we have seen so far, Jesus is still public enemy number one, right? They've crucified him. They thought they were done with him. But then there's all these stories that Jesus has appeared, that he was, you know, alive from the dead. The tomb is empty. Eyewitnesses, Paul will say 500 of them or thereabouts, saw Jesus post-resurrection. And so they're trying to get ahead of the narrative here like a good politician. So here, this is not just something happening in the wilderness, out in the boonies of Galilee, but right in the capital city, right under the nose of the temple leadership. These disciples of Jesus are doing wonderful things for someone in his name. So I've been, for all the New Testament reading here for the stretch of time, I'm just picking up a new translation. This is from the Kingdom New Testament, N.T. Wright's translation of the Greek New Testament. And I remember him, he was doing a long lecture series on politics and Christianity. He's got a new book out right now. He and Mike Bird co-wrote a book at the time of this recording called God and the Powers, or Jesus and the Powers. And in there, they're going to exegete the book of Acts, because this is our first episode of how did Christians look at politics? You know, this great science of getting along in public with one another, governing ideas and grouping people together. And so we get some early case studies of how the disciples treated politics. And if we can just reflect on those, maybe we'll clean up our version of politics that we have and be more Christ-like in the way in which we live among one another in public, right? But to end, in this book, Jesus and the Powers, they exegete or they interpret the book of Acts. And as N.T. Wright was doing this years ago, I remember him making a comment on it that he was so struck by the language that the early Christians used about their experience with Jesus. I think because we're just 20 centuries down the road now, we tend to have different metaphors, maybe different ideas that come to front of mind when we think about salvation and some of these big terms that come from Christian theology, that sometimes we forget what were their original meanings, like what were the original metaphors being leveraged that helped these, you know, disciples from Galilee go all over the Roman world and draw people to Jesus and to win disciples to his cause. And so N.T. Wright was just so struck by how the theme of rescue was so apparent. It's like page after page, the language that they use, and they had many different words at their disposal in the Greek language. But the group of words that were used again and again was this theme of rescue, right? And we see it like not just in dialogue, but also in the vivid stories that Luke tells. Towards the end of the book of Acts, Paul, one of the heralds of Jesus's gospel, was shipwrecked, right? And the floating wood from the shipwreck was used to help rescue Paul, right? And so N.T. Wright, once again, as a you know, first century historian and a New Testament scholar, is just aware of all these words. He's like, again and again, we could sub out saved for the English word rescue or the verb rescue, because that is what's being invoked whenever the disciples are preaching about what Jesus has done. So when it came to this guy who was healed at the Gate Beautiful in Acts chapter 3, they could have used things like health and wholeness and a host of other words. But here, as Peter and John are defending themselves when they're on trial before these religious rulers, they're saying rescue. This man was rescued, right? He came to rescue, Jesus came to rescue all of us. You guys put him away, but God restored him. God vindicated him from the grave. And so Jesus is deemed fit to continue to go on rescuing more people. So he rescued us, and he rescued this man at the Gate Beautiful. And he's gonna continue to rescue people. That's what's going to happen. So you can threaten us all you want, but there's a rescue mission. Jesus is in the middle of it. He's recruiting volunteers and helpers, and he wants us to join in his rescue mission. When I think of this theme of rescue, I think of something that John Orberg wrote in one of his books. He was on a vacation in the northeast of the United States, and he visited this museum in one of these coastal towns about a search and rescue organization that used to, before lifeguards were posted on the coast, people, out of the kindness of their own heart, they would go serve as volunteer lifeguards. And they would post watch there. They were really organized. They would raise money. And you would think that with like the advent of the Coast Guard and like official lifeguards being posted and lifeguard towers being posted all over all the beaches in the Northeast, that this nonprofit organization would, come and cancel their organization. They're no longer needed nor necessary, because now we've got this official structure in place to help protect our community. And so Orberg was so surprised that this organization was still around. Now, they weren't out there rescuing lives, but they were hosting board meetings. They were still collecting money for from donations, probably just meager amounts, but they still existed, but they were no longer doing their mission. So like in name, they were still existing, but in practice, they weren't doing their mission. And Orberg, as a preacher and Christian thinker and pastor, he thought, you know, sometimes the church is guilty of the same thing. Like, we continue to meet in Jesus's name, but we're no longer on that mission. We're no longer on the same page. We seem to have other different agendas, and not the original agenda of rescue to the folks around us. And so I think about that. And I think about that as I read Acts chapter 4 this morning, that the initial vision was rescue. Jesus rescued you and I, and he fills us with the Spirit, like he filled the Spirit, Peter with his Spirit here in this moment, to continue to announce this rescue mission, right? So as we think about our lives and what we have with our opportunities today, as we turn to a time of prayer, maybe think on these things and ask for God's help to be on his rescue mission with him, because there's probably nothing else more important that we could give ourselves to than to see lives put back and restored and rescued for Jesus' sake. So with those things in mind, let's spend some time praying to our God this morning. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you that as you saw fit, you rescued us. You chased us down when we were wandering away and we're caught in the trap of our sins. Jesus, you freed us. You rescued us and you brought us to a high and safe place. You brought us into your family. And so we rejoice in the salvation that we have all received. And we thank you that you're not done, because there's many lives that are near and dear to us that as we just look into people's lives, even though they're a great deep mystery to us, we sense there are signs that they need to be rescued as well. And so God, we thank you that today is a fresh opportunity for your rescue to go on and to continue to go from life to life and place to place until all are one to you. And so God, this day we lay our calendar, our task list before you, and we pray that you might see fit to include us into our plan, the things that we have going on today, that you would use the different opportunities that we have to allow your love to be shared to our neighbors and to our friends. And we simply pray that this love would awaken them like it awakened us, so that we might be able to witness them being rescued like you have rescued us. So be with us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.